The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guests, and his callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome, everybody, to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And for those of you who are new to our program, our purpose is to kind of expand the repertoire of growth strategies for our listeners. I'm really on a kind of a mission here to help companies continue to grow. It's easy enough to start. And in some ways, it's pretty easy to be a big company. But boy, that middle zone, that zone between like 2 million and 200 million, when you look at the statistics about how few of them really make it past some of those classic plateaus, it's not that many. So I'm on this, you know, this is another soapbox for us. And how we structure the program is the first 15 minutes, I share some information about a growth strategy each week and with some examples from my clients. I've been a growth strategist helping over 800 clients grow over 30 years. So between the professional service firms and the distributors and the technology companies and the family-owned business, et cetera, I have some examples. And after a while, you start seeing patterns. So in this first 13-week pilot, this is the last week of the pilot, we've had 13 different growth strategies, 13 different industries, and 13 different states represented. And at the break, I'll introduce a guest for this morning on the topic of growing through innovation. Oh, wow, there's a big word. Let's think about this. Okay, so, you know, people throw it around. Oh, we're so innovative. We're so entrepreneurial. And one of the first points I'd like to make about it is innovation is not an excuse for chaotic thinking. I've seen some entrepreneurs, they say, you know, we're opportunity-driven. And when something neat comes up, we're going to take advantage of it. We're just going to jump right on it. And they make their employees nuts. And as you listen to this morning's program, kind of listen to the difference between the process of managing innovation and just having ADD, you know, attention deficit disorder. There really is a difference. Just because you get excited about some hot new idea doesn't mean you're innovative. Although, you know what, there really is a strong argument for us to be focusing on innovation more and more and more. Think about the changes in the marketplace. Things that used to be unique and special are now expected. You used to have to, you wouldn't even have a website, and then now, not only are you expected to have a website, it better be a destination and have all the bells and whistles, and there's a constant innovation process for improving a website. If you were a speaker or a trainer or any kind of service professional, you weren't. It was really a big deal if you had an article published or you had a book published. Now, for a lot of us, you not only need to have articles published, you need to have books, and you have to have them online in 5 or 6 different versions, and the marketplace is expecting a lot of it for free. So even if you don't see yourself as being innovative or that your company is growing through innovation, we're all kind of stuck with it. We all have to embrace how do we create something newer, better, faster, cheaper because of the expectations. Things that used to be special are now viewed as a commodity. So there's a real argument for doing this. One of the observations that I've made with my clients over the years is that they kind of lose their track of what step they're at. And it kind of goes back to a basic 5-point step. No matter what you're talking about, there really are 5 steps. The first step being opportunity or problem identification. The second one being research. The third being design. The fourth being implementation. And the fifth being evaluation. Sounds simple, huh? But if you don't know which step you're at, your behavior won't match. Your emphasis of what you're trying to be talking about or what you're trying to measure won't be right. You won't be spending your time, your money, your effort on the right thing. And our businesses are complicated enough that what will happen is one process, like planning for the new building, might be in the implementation stage. And another process, like introducing a new product, might be way back at the opportunity and problem identification stage. And another process, like changing your financial reporting system, which is an internal innovation, maybe at the design phase where the CFO is proposing, here's our new methodology and here's what I need us to do and what do you think of this? So your staff meetings, your executive management team meetings may have a feel where, okay, the people who are dealing with the building are going to be talking about their progress in implementing a design that's been decided a long time ago. And they're talking about schedules and details and what do they need and logistics. The presentation from the CFO is going to sound more proposal-oriented. And here's what we're thinking of doing, and what do you think, and did we miss anything? And the presentation from the other part of the organization that's still at the opportunity and problem identification stage is going to sound more unsure, uncertain, probing, asking, brainstorming, figuring it out, getting input, not making a recommendation. And I've seen sometimes when people have it figured out which step they're at, they actually get mad at each other. And they're not satisfied with the fact that the guy who's managing the building is supposed to sound like he's in routine and measurement and dates and structures and logistics, and that the CFO who's proposing a new program for finance is supposed to sound like he's recommending things and asking what he missed. If you don't know what you're listening for, you can actually mismanage the process. That's one of the first things I'd suggest to you kind of think about. The major things that are going on in your company at any given time, could you draw an Excel spreadsheet? Could you lay it out and look at the major changes that are going on in your business and just ask yourself the primary question, are we at opportunity problem identification for this thing, or are we in research, or are we at design, or are we in implementation, or are we evaluating? Which one are we at? And one other way to use this suggestion is if you look down that Excel spreadsheet at your 12 or 15 major things that are going on, because a lot of us live pretty complicated lives, what if you find they're all in implementation? That's not good news. That's too hard to manage. That's all kinds of measurement, all kinds of routine, all kinds of logistics, and you can get myopic. Where's the next new thing that you should be working on? You can actually force it a little bit. You can postpone implementation of some things. You give a later deadline for the decision on something so that you're clear thinking. I find it actually is better if you've got 10, 15 major changes going on in your company, and that can happen. It'd be good to have a few that are deep into implementation, a few that are deep into problem opportunity, a few that are deep into research, et cetera, so that you get the feel of each type of work, and it helps you manage it much, much better. Now, why is innovation so difficult? One of the reasons is what I was just talking about, just the managing of the process and where are we standing. I think one of the problems with it for people is the budget. There's a misunderstanding that a neat new idea will just fund itself, and it'll just kind of happen. Well, actually, a lot of organizations view innovation as very disruptive. They're busy enough. They've got enough to do now. We're taking care of our customers. We have a product online. We're short-staffed. We don't have enough money. We can't do this. We can't do that. And innovation feels just like another to-do list thrown on top of an already busy day. So one of the suggestions I'd make is to make sure that your budget includes money for research, ongoing research, because it doesn't just happen. You can't just necessarily know what your next innovation is going to be. You know, can you sanction being nosy? Can you sanction being curious? Can you sanction interviewing customers, checking out market trends to see the innovation, the cues for innovation? Is there a budget for development? Because the development of a product didn't just happen. In some of our companies, it's very expensive, frankly. So if you don't set aside the money for development, it can frustrate the people who are asked to develop a new product. And you can set yourself up for failure, because if you have anything you have to do twice or figure out the nuances of it, you run out of money because you were being too short-sighted in your budget. There's legal expenses for innovation. There's things like trademarks and searches and making sure that you understand the dynamics of the marketplace. There's sometimes an innovation requires a new approach to contracts or a new alliance or a new joint venture. There's legal fees. In your best years and your worst years involve attorneys. And if you're doing innovation, you're probably going to be talking to some attorneys. And the budget needs to allow for some marketing, because you can have a wonderful idea, but if you don't get the word out, who knows? Who cares? And I've seen some people get very disappointed when they have a great innovation and they never told anybody. Let's use one of my clients as a good example, because I tried to go through it and look for one that everybody would recognize. Look at H&R Block. Now, you know, they're a franchise. They're accounting. How innovative can you get? Well, they get pretty innovative. With their rapid refund, Think about what they would have had to go through. So listen to what the marketplace needed. So look at what competitors were doing. So listen to what the customers were wanting. They just want their money sooner. But they actually heard it. And they analyzed their process to say, how good are we? How much do we believe in what we do? Can we guarantee it? Could we actually have enough nerve to pay it early and take that chance? Can you picture the computations about what's the risk? If we pay a refund based on our computations and it turns out wrong, ooh, how wrong are we ever going to be? And how much chance can we take? Can you picture the internal discussion? And they did it. There's a great big company, family-owned, and they introduced something like Rapid Refund. Just put yourself in the moment. Think about it. What kind of opportunity problem identification process must they have had? What kind of research did they have to do? Can you picture the meetings when somebody was sitting there saying, I propose that we do something I'm going to call Rapid Refund? Can you picture the meeting? Can you imagine your response? And when they rolled it out and implemented it, who had to deal with the budget and making sure everybody understood it and that the customers believed it? That's not just simple. That's not an inert process. And that everybody was trained to do it. And that make you think, how about the builders, the first ones that say, we can do this in a modular way. These houses really aren't that different, and they might actually be stronger if we built the sections first. And we could transport the sections. We were confident that we built them right. We're not dependent on the subcontractors out in the field who may or may not show up to do the framing. We're going to build these sections, and they're going to be able to be taken out on a truck and put together like a puzzle, and it'll actually work better. Can you picture that discussion with companies that we're so used to having? Start from scratch, do it on site, and assume that we don't want to have something that looks like a trailer. I'll tell you what, these modular homes that are out there now, they don't look like trailers. Some of them are these, you know, McMansions, 5 and 6 bedroom, great big beautiful places. You can't beat them. Atriums and high ceilings and solar heating, you name it, it can be done in a modular way. Imagine what the process was. One of my clients is 411 Computers in Chicago, and they have an innovative approach related to business continuity. So if you have a flood or if you have a major disaster in your organization, you have a place to go. After the break, we're going to come back and interview Doug Berger from Innovate Incorporated about innovation.
You're listening to The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business. If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Dear, you're on the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what'd you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so...
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
You hear business show after business show, all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Voice America Business. And today's topic is growing your business through innovation. I guess I forgot one point in the first segment, or I just ran out of time. I think the major thing I'd like you to think about as you listen to our guest is how important it is to stop perfecting what you've been doing. And think about creating tomorrow. And how would you do that? You know, everybody's so busy doing what they decided on yesterday. We've got to think about a process of how do you create tomorrow. So my guest, and I knew who I wanted when this was the topic, Doug Berger. He's a managing partner of Innovate. Hey, Doug, you there?
I'm there, Aldana.
Hello. Now I'm going to read a little bit of your resume, but I know who you are. He's the founder and managing partner of Innovate. Now tell us a little bit about what Innovate does.
Well, we're a management consulting firm, and we specialize in what we call large-scale enterprise innovation and breakthrough. And by enterprise innovation, I mean innovation where people want to engage their entire organization.
Whoa.
So it could be a manufacturing firm of $25 million and maybe 200 people, but they really feel that the whole organization needs to be engaged in one form or another around innovation. Or it could be a major division of a Fortune company.
That sounds like fun work.
Yes.
We'll have to make sure we get examples of some things that you've seen.
You bet.
And you're also the publisher, and I think one of your innovations is that you're a publisher of The Innovators. And you say it's an e-zine. I'm calling it an online magazine. That puppy's big.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. I mean, tell us a little bit about The Innovators.
Well, I set out with The Innovators to be able to showcase the kind of thinking that is happening in a very practical way in companies, mm-hmm. but that you wouldn't find if you were a subscriber to Harvard Business Review or Fast Company or things like that.
Yeah, you're filling a need here.
And so what I really wanted to get across in The Innovators was how people who are being innovative, who are achieving innovative results, how they're actually thinking, so that if people could pick up some interesting new thought principles, if you will, then they could shape that to their own organization setting and shape that to their own personality.
I like the fact that it's creating like a community of innovators. The subscribers and the people that you deal with are starting to relate to one another because, you know, the guy in one organization or the gal in another organization that are those, you know, the type that spark change, you know, they have a place to go to talk with somebody else that's like them. And
yeah.
They can read interviews of people that they admire who have really made things happen.
That's
pretty cool.
As you know, that was part of my real aspiration for the magazine, is creating that kind of community.
So now, who have you interviewed, by the way? Like, give an example of somebody that would have been a good interview.
Well, in the last edition, mm-hmm. we interviewed in the next edition. Let me put it this way. create a little demand. In the next session, we'll have interviewed Pat Garrity, who's the Senior Vice President of Customer Service for Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield.
That's cool.
And he has moved Horizon's, that's the New Jersey Blue Cross Blue Shield organization, and he's moved them from being kind of middle of the pack in terms of customer service to now being number one.
Okay.
And he's done that in 3 years. And customer service for someone like Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield is one of the key drivers of their future success.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I like the fact that it wasn't necessarily the CEO. You're looking for the drivers inside the organization, not just the top dog.
There's a very different body of kind of practices or thinking when you're at the operating level and trying to drive innovative results at the operating level than when you're trying to drive innovation at a corporate level. So I'm really interested at the level of the organization in which the value for the customer is really being generated.
So the people
and
who
that's
call
the operating,
you, they might be like a COO, or they might be an R&D vice president, something like that?
Yes, or an owner of a mid-sized company.
Oh, that's true. Or a product VP, you know, like a product manager. I gotcha. All right, now let's talk a little bit about your background so the listeners know. You began your career in software development, leading a number of advanced technology departments. You were director of worldwide information technology for Burroughs, which is now Unisys. Mm-hmm. And you joined Data General Mini Computers as a technical director of emerging markets. That's cool. And at Data General, you led initiatives into alternate channels of distribution, personal computing, and large commercial accounts. That's a good background. And I understand you've built hot development teams and managed the adoption of new technology and been an entrepreneur inside a large company. So, I mean, before you set up your own business, it's not like you just made this up and said, I think I'll be a consultant. You have done this.
Yeah, it's kind of the been there, done that. And,
mm-hmm.
and there's that kind of when we're talking about innovation, it's one of those things where people can very, very quickly separate the people who've been there, done that, know the real practical considerations that one needs to take into account versus people who have terrific theories about innovation but don't have that kind of hands-on experience.
I wish GM would call you in. I'm not kidding. Have you read some of the articles recently about the struggle and, you know, the debates about whether or not they should drop, I guess it's Pontiac, and I'm going to say the wrong one. I don't want to say the wrong one. But there's two lines that some of the experts are saying they should just drop and focus. And the idea of, you know, being spread too thin and that's not innovative and yada, yada. I don't know. I mean, I don't run car companies, but I wonder if someone like yourself could help them. But if somebody there is listening to it, you know, call Doug. Because at least the newspapers make it sound like you need it. All right, now, see, now, in the next couple sections, we're going to talk about the process of innovation. But you know what I want to start with? When we're saying innovation, what are you talking about? I mean, what do you mean?
Great. Well, you know, you were talking about earlier innovation as distinct from something that's very chaotic.
Yeah.
And I really, if you'll notice, I use the word innovative results because I really think of innovation as very, very results-oriented.
True.
As distinct from being creative or inventive. So,
Now wait a minute. Say that again.
So, for example, you know, I live here in New Jersey. My parents live in Long Island, and it takes, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours to go visit. Well, innovation for me is how do I get to my parents' house faster?
The Star Trek transporter.
Yeah, well, that's my son's working on inventing that. But in the absence of that technology, there's still the Lincoln Tunnel, Holland Tunnel, you know, et cetera. And
much worse.
When I think about that, I don't think about, gee, every time I get in the car, I'm really interested in finding a different way to get to my parents.
That's a very good example.
I'm interested in how can I get to my parents faster. And so that has led me to explore different kinds of routes under different kinds of circumstances. You know, when the Mets are playing, you want to stay away from certain highways. But it's driven by a particular outcome in mind as opposed to just this personal need for being creative or doing something different.
Have you called Donald Trump and asked him for a helicopter ride?
Yeah, that's a good out-of-the-box kind of way of being innovative. So I really distinguish innovation as the pursuit of business results that are unprecedented and require, therefore, that you think about things differently, that you engage in different kinds of actions than you would have ordinarily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very different than just saying we want to unleash creativity or we want to unleash inventiveness throughout our organization.
That is really strong. I hope people heard you. Because I've seen people get bogged down in the process of what they call innovation, and all they're doing is making complicated change. You know, they're not really looking for unprecedented business results. Good for you. So what happens when somebody gets bogged down? Do you kind of remind them that, is this leading us to unprecedented business results, or are we just talking about minor tweaking?
Exactly. So that, you know, when we look at, you know, I mean, when we look at innovation, I think innovation really starts with mm-hmm. an aspiration and a passion. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to take the organization? Mm-hmm. Where do you want to take the business? Where do you want to take the people that work for you?
Do you find that's one of the barriers to this, is that some people have lost their passion and their, you know, their vision about where they could go?
Loss is an interesting word. Yeah, I think they forget to ask themselves that question. Mm-hmm. And they forget to explore it. So, yes, I think that that's true, that they've lost it in the kind of crunch for delivering quarterly profits and quarterly performance.
It's sad. I mean, I've seen some people that are so lost in the day-to-day. I don't know if they lost the passion, but it's smothered. You know, mm-hmm. in the to-do list and in the, you know, the effort, you know, of the big why of why we're doing this. So a lot of your work, you know, you'd come in and you'd say, let's go back to the why we're doing this.
Yeah.
What, do they respond right away, or do you get the deer in headlights look?
Well, a question that I like to ask people is, what lights you up?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they, you know, first there's that kind of startled, you know, millisecond, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then people go, you know, rarely do I meet people who are interested in that side of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really forms the basis for connecting with people in ways that are very, very different from the normal, you know, what are you going after in the next quarter, what are you going after in the next year.
So, all right, so some of innovation, or a lot of innovation, is not the day-to-day process of improving what you've been doing. It is getting excited again, getting recentered in, you know, like you really do solve problems, you really are filling a need, there really is something important to do, and that your company is important.
Getting excited and getting, more particularly, getting excited about a particular future.
Mm-hmm.
So that one could have excitement, but one needs to channel that excitement into a future for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the personal future, but a future for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that when people start to explore this, what excites me, what lights me up, it's not like the first thing that comes to mind is necessarily the right thing. It's really a journey where you start to challenge yourself to think about the future in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think about the future in terms of extending the past.
Yep.
This is what we've done before. Going into the future, we'll do more of it, we'll mm-hmm. do bigger of it.
That's where a lot of the boring strategic planning comes from.
Yes.
It's just tactical add-on to the to-do list.
Yep. And so I would call that business planning. You know,
yeah.
That's not strategy. That's business planning.
And it's not even good at that yet for that.
You need to do that.
Yeah.
But the real crux of innovation is mm-hmm. in your own thinking. Can you create, if you will, a break from your past and the organization's past in thinking, to think about what the organization could be and
that's
where,
really powerful.
You know, and stay there for a while without trying to figure out how to make it practical immediately.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about why some companies are almost nervous about thinking about the future. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies. companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Voice America Business, and today we're talking about growing through innovation. And my guest is Doug Berger of Innovate Incorporated. Now, I left the last segment saying that one of the things that happens is that companies get so lost in the day-to-day management that when you start talking about envisioning the future, there's a little bit of freeze. Doug, do you find that? What happens when you come in?
Well, Aldana, you know, we actually find that there's by the time someone's interested in speaking with us, yeah, the freeze has thawed.
Interesting. So what happened? Did they feel some pain?
Usually, okay? Usually, if you will, the business is starting to stagnate or there's been some failure or disappointment. Mm-hmm. You know, and as much as we'd like to say aspiration is a true motivator for people, The truth is that without a little bit of pain or disappointment, aspiration is not a big motivator of action.
That's true.
It needs the aspiration, and it needs a little bit of the pain and the frustration and the discomfort to motivate people into action.
Yeah, the social workers call it felt pain.
So,
nothing's going to change until you had the felt pain.
Yeah,
how about give us an example from a mid-market company, not some big behemoth.
Yeah. Did work a few years ago with a $25 million industrial valve company, family-owned, second-generation family-owned. Mm-hmm. And when we first met the owner, the business had basically been stagnant over the past 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And while cash flow was positive from a privately held company point of view, you would not say that the company is a financial success. You would actually say it's really kind of on the downward slope of its maturity cycle.
So now what kinds of things had they tried on their own?
Well, they had tried to launch a different manufacturing process, a more cellular manufacturing process, mm-hmm, that had gotten stalled partway through the implementation of the first product into that process. Mm-hmm. They had tried some new products but found that they had a very bad track record in expanding into new product lines. Mm-hmm. And so that part hadn't worked particularly well. They tried expanding overseas into Europe, and a few years later, their European subsidiary was now, if you will, a bit of a boat anchor, mm-hmm, on the entire organization rather than a springboard for growth into a new market.
But they weren't sitting on their hands.
They tried the right strategies,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
But they failed in executing each of the strategies.
In a family-owned business, I bet they were really, they'd run the risk of being at each other's throat. Let's put it that way.
So it's an interesting phenomenon when what we're talking about is innovation associated with better execution.
Yeah.
So
because they would look at it as, we just tried 6 ideas, why would your 7th new idea be better than ours?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so one could say that there's an aspect of innovation that usually isn't even talked about or considered innovation, which is innovating on how we execute,
yeah.
Such that we have a much better track record
mm-hmm.
on executing the things we set out to accomplish.
Whereas but a lot of manufacturing companies, that's exactly where the innovation is a lot of times.
Yes.
You know, and certainly with some of the technology ones, if they can make the thing smaller and faster and get it out quicker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how'd you go about it?
So if we look at this particular business situation from the point of view of this question around aspiration,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we said very early on or asked and explored was, where do you want the organization to be within 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
For a small business that's stagnant, 3 years is what I consider to be the maximum
yeah.
planning
oh,
time
yeah.
horizon.
Oh, yeah.
Anything more than that is folly.
Well, and plus, you know, the way the economy's changed and the way the world's changing, you know, planning for 20 years is something that the government's got to do. But an individual company is just going to get all bogged down trying to guess that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so within 3 years, the owner said to established, really, a few very, very key objectives.
Mm-hmm.
To grow sales by 45%, to be ranked in the top tier by their channel of distribution and key customers,
mm-hmm.
and to continue to provide a good living and employment security for the owner's family and the longtime employees.
Now, how did they pick 45%?
You know?
Do you remember?
Don't know.
Okay. I find that an interesting thing that happens in planning.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just arbitrarily says, we're going to go to 50 million or whatever the number was. You know, just it was arbitrary. And that's something I deal with a lot is, you know, what's the next best set point for the company? For it to change its dynamic, but I was just curious. That's a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. So they envision the new future, and then what?
And again, there's the vision part of the future, and
mm-hmm.
there's the part of making that future very concrete and measurable.
Okay.
And so I think that the always ambitions have to translate into very, very specific business outcomes.
So, in other words, like the goal of having their distribution channel rate them highly, what would they have to do to have earned that rating?
Well, exactly, but that as a rating is a very specific outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's measurable, you could track it.
Yep.
So if we looked and then said, what's going on that the processes of execution, if you will, are where the holdup is? It's not the ideas, but execution is failing.
Yep.
One of the things that we look at is what are people's mental model of the business,
mm-hmm.
the way it is, the way they think the business is and has to be into the future. And in the course of exploring that with the owner and her senior team,
mm-hmm.
they discovered that they had been operating from certain, if you will, hidden assumptions.
Yep.
That they really didn't appreciate the way those hidden assumptions were completely shaping they're thinking about the business.
You know, I had one family business client where essentially the people on the manufacturing floor were working on the premise that the next thing that the young son would come up with would be their next project, and when he got bored with it, it would stop. And they never really believed that the company was going to put enough money behind the son's next thing. So they only half did it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a premise.
Yes.
Was any of that going on? I mean, did they have other kind of premises?
Well, here's a couple of premises that they had. One premise was that because they sold through distributors,
mm-hmm.
the distributor owns the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a consequence of that premise, it never occurred to them to build direct relationships with the key customers of their product.
Mm-hmm.
They built all their relationships with the distributor. So they never, therefore, as a consequence of that, knew what the customer was really looking for, the problems the customer was dealing with. It was always filtered through the distributor.
Yep. And there's some risks to, you know, really getting completely in touch with the customer base if you have distributors, because they get nervous and say, you're rolling around me.
So there's ways to work it out.
Right,
the second
right.
thing was, and it gets back to one of the points you were making earlier, Aldana,
mm-hmm.
is as a culture, they had a cultural imperative of get it right.
Yep.
So they didn't want to do anything fully until they knew it was right.
Oh, wow.
So if you look at implementing a new production process, you will never get it right at the outset.
Yeah.
Never. Mm-hmm. Even if you build a pilot plant, even if you scale everything up, there's always the adjustments that you have to make as as you go forward and implement something.
So it's admirable to have that, the goal of being perfect, but it can also freeze you.
You see what happened is, okay, they would get partway, determine that this wasn't, quote, right, and stop, rather than a different point of view about it.
I find that perfectionism is one of the barriers for innovation in a lot of places.
Yep.
If we can't come up with the idea and perfect the idea, let alone how to implement it, let's not even bother.
Now, you'll get a kick out of this other thing. One of the things we discovered was in their mental model was that they're a mechanical valve company.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that wasn't mechanical wasn't real for them.
Mm.
So electronic wasn't real for them. Now, how can we can relate to this when we look at companies like AT&T on a big scale.
Yeah.
And we can see that AT&T was at heart a telephony company. And it acquired companies that were not telephony and sold them.
Yep.
And it acquired other areas that were not telephony and sold them.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, and what is somebody acquiring when they're acquiring now AT&T? SBC is acquiring a telephony company with an outstanding customer base.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Who would have thought, huh?
And it's very subtle because it organizes people's thinking from the get-go. The kind of company you founded or the kind of company originally envisioned by the owners becomes, if you will, in the DNA of the organization. And unless you really appreciate it, it really becomes a limiter to growth. And so an aspect of innovation is discovering that kind of hidden organizer of everyone's thinking.
Now, we've got about a minute before the break. Can you tell us the punchline as to what happened for the valve company?
Well, the punchline was that they wound up growing more than 45%. They closed their European operation. They started talking with the distributor directly to their customers to find out new customer requirements. They wound up finishing the implementation of that new manufacturing process that really resulted in moving on-time delivery from 65% up to 98%.
Did they get into things other than mechanical?
And they moved within 18 months, they had a new product on the market in a whole new product line.
So over what period of time did all this change happen?
Well, if you look at it, the actual trajectory change for the company took about 3 to 6 months.
The full
realization of that change took about 18 months.
Yeah. I've been impressed by, when people are really motivated, let's deal with this, that about a 3-month period of time of focusing on attitude and premises and vision can be just, revolutionary. After the break, we'll come back and we'll talk again about some innovation. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldona Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldona played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldona Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets. Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets is completely dedicated to helping small businesses thrive and be more profitable. On the show, learn leading practices for bonding emotionally with customers and securing lifetime loyalty. This one-of-a-kind talk show is hosted by Jeanette McMurtry, author of the book, Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets, and John Cooper, veteran marketing and leadership consultant. Together, they will keep you up to date on marketing trends and how to create passionate customers for life. So log on to Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets with Jeanette McMurtry and John Cooper every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Voice America Business. And today we're talking about growing through innovation. And we have a guest, Doug Berger of Innovate Incorporated. You know, before we get any further, Doug, if someone wants to contact you, what's the best way to reach you?
Two things. First, the website, which is www.innovate1st.com. But also, I welcome emails and respond to all emails, and people can email me at doug@innovate1st.com.
So when you say one, you're saying basically first?
First, yes.
Yeah, so they understand the S and the T.
Yes.
Yeah, without spelling out the word at first. I gotcha. All right, so and he's open to doing that, and it sounds like people are listening to what you're saying. They may have some questions. I think it'd be a good idea in this final segment for you to share just some of the steps. I know you can't go into great detail,
mm-hmm.
but apparently you start with, okay, what do we, you know, what do you get excited about, and what's the future, where do you want it to go?
Right.
What's next?
Well, and then we talked about breaking from the past in your thinking,
mm-hmm.
and becoming, if you will, an explorer of possibility. And what's important when you're being an explorer of possibility is to not yet be practical.
Mm-hmm.
So one wants to explore possibility. One wants to explore why it won't work.
Yep.
As much as why something might work, mm-hmm. why it won't work, then flip it and go, now, if we got it to work, what will we have needed to take care of?
Oh, I love that. That's good wording.
So there's that explorer of possibility. And at the end of that, one could look at the future, understand what it's going to take to get there, and then look and say, can I be committed to this? And am I willing to therefore mobilize other people inside the organization mm-hmm. to be committed to this as well?
And how do they do that, mobilizing people?
Well, one of the ways to mobilize people that's very effective is to organize things in terms of projects
mm-hmm.
and give people the opportunity to work on projects that, if you will, are a bit unprecedented, a bit unrealistic, and let them loose on mm-hmm. things that are unrealistic yet make a big difference.
Yeah.
And so commitment, you can't, for you know, it's not something you talk your way into.
Mm-hmm.
It's for most organizations, and that's a mistake, is people try and talk people into commitment
yeah.
as opposed to get them into a circle of action, a reinforcing circle of action mm-hmm. that brings out commitment through the kind of results that it accomplishes.
And the one person that has the nerve and says, oh, we can do this. I don't know how, but we'll do it. It's very helpful, you know.
It starts there. And the other thing about commitment is I call it fast-tracking results. So it's a way of getting around that need for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Is you actually really inculcate that kind of rapid prototyping thinking
yep.
in the organization. Let's get there. And then once we're there, let's figure out how to stabilize it. But let's get there quick.
So you don't get measurement and all that kind of monitoring early on in your process at all?
No, I think if you do it too early, it actually slows results down.
Yep, that kills it.
Then when we look at the steps, then we're now into implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are really four areas that I look at implementation from. One is when you're going after an ambitious, bold future, you're going to have new drivers of success. Mm-hmm. What are those new drivers of success? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be new customers. It could be quality. It could be customer service. There are going to be four or five new drivers of success. Mm-hmm. Those are the things you want to turn into projects. The second thing is that you want to be looking at emerging opportunities. So you can overplan your future.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things is when you're thinking innovatively, you become open to opportunities that you wouldn't have thought about before and that you might have said, oh, that's not us. But now with that idea of challenging your mental model in mind, you go, you know, gee, what's wrong with pursuing this one and
maybe
seeing where it might lead?
Yeah. It's not us in the past, but maybe it should be in the future.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're open to that there are aspects of the future you're going to do very deliberately,
yeah.
And there are aspects of the future you're going to open yourself to in this kind of emerging way.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing, or fourth, I can't remember at this point, is that you're encouraging innovative action.
Yeah.
In the present. So by having people know the ambitious results you're aiming for in the future, you're asking people now, what could you do today that will make a difference against that result in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking people to act innovatively, but against that particular business result.
So do you have to build in some structure for them to have a chance to communicate it or
exactly.
To show it off?
Exactly. Then when looks there, one starts to go, great. Now, we don't have to deal with the chaoticness of innovation because we're pointing innovation at the result. Now we have to channel it
mm-hmm.
and structure it and acknowledge it, reward it, do all of those good, you know, human performance things that we know just give you more of what you are, more of what you want when you do it.
Yep.
So
I'm listening to you that the CEO or the president who had to have everything be their idea could probably be the most stifling of this.
Oh, it definitely.
Yeah.
You know, this is where I said, you know, large-scale enterprise
yeah.
innovation. Because, you know, the kind of thing that we're doing is not a fit for an organization that is very autocratic or paternalistic. It's a
well, in the way you're structuring your process, it might encourage an autocrat to back off. And learn,
if,
you know, let go.
If they saw that as part of their ambitious future.
Gotcha.
Okay?
I've seen that.
Yeah.
When somebody really recognizes it's time to change, it's hard.
They want to let go,
yep.
And they don't know how to run the company in a way that's consistent with that because they think they're the only driving energy for the organization.
Yep.
And this kind of process allows people to develop more and more comfort about pulling away, if you will, but more and more confidence about how to manage and lead the organization so that the organization becomes a lot more innovative.
So now, how do you think the companies can afford this? Because people listening to you are going to get excited and say, oh, gosh, I'd love to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the, you know, the little voice in their head that says, I don't have the money. How do you answer that?
Well, I think there are two things. First, on the strategic level, there's when you're clear about what your future is,
mm-hmm.
you start to see how to fund things in a very, very different way.
Mm-hmm.
And where to take money out of and things of that nature.
Yeah.
The second thing is by fast-tracking results, you aim for things in the short run that free up resources and generate revenue
mm-hmm.
so that the growth of the company is a pay-as-you-go. It's not I'm spending money in the hopes of revenue coming in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cycle, if you will, on rate of return is 6 months or less.
Gotcha.
So I'm doing something with a six-month fast track, getting a return on that. Then I can, the next 6 months, I can take on something even bigger, get a return on that. So I like to think of people thinking in six-month increments.
Gotcha.
You don't
need Doug, I think you've done a marvelous job today. I knew who I wanted, and you've just not disappointed at all. Again, the way to reach Doug Berger is at doug@innovate1st.com or go to his website at www.innovate1st.com.
Aldana, it's S as in Sam?
Yeah.
Not, okay, you sounded a little bit like an F.
That's why I said that earlier, because you know, the way the transmission is, it's important. It's a way of saying innovate first.
That's right.
With a number. Doug, you were wonderful.
Aldana,
foreshadow
thank you.
Some of the programs that are coming up for the people listening. In our next 13-week cycle, we're going to have people from distribution. We're going to have somebody talking about channel control who has been a tech rep for 30 years now. We'll have, I've invited the CEO of Prudential Financial. I haven't gotten a confirmation yet, but Art Ryan is just a brilliant man, and I think he can really teach us how to grow through philanthropy and community service. He's an excellent role model of really understanding what the community around you needs, and it's not just about your company. We've invited Peter Cocosiello of Advanced Realty to talk about real estate. We've invited Mac Anderson to talk about franchising. He's the founder of Successories. You've probably seen those stores and seen the online and seen the catalog. We've invited Joy Wallace, who runs Joy Foods, and she's a distributor that puts the Pizza Hut pizza in the schools. And we've invited Chris Miles, who is an innovator in software. Number of people. I hope to hear from you then. Give me a call. Go to thegrowthstrategist.com. This is Aldana Ambler on The Growth Strategist on Voice America Business.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.